Marvin Campos is a life coach, but not the kind you would expect when you hear that title. Here in Chattanooga, he works for an outreach program called Building Stable Lives, sponsored by the Partnership for Families, Children, and Adults. The program, funded by the United Way, connects families in need with the social services they require. Marvin, who is bilingual, serves families in Eastlake, primarily immigrants from Guatemala. He stopped by Scenic Roots. Marvin, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
How did you become a life coach?
Oh my gosh. I have no idea. Let's see. I got my master's in social work after I realized I had to get a master's after getting my undergrad in psychology. So I was working at Clinica Medicos, which is on Holtzclaw. Really great. I just spoke Spanish. They were offering jobs if you were bilingual. And I'm like, I have no medical background. They're like, that's fine. You speak Spanish. We'll teach you. You don't need much. I was doing my master's in social work, kind of looking at jobs here and there. I picked up a government job, but you needed some experience there, and that wasn't working out. And I did my internship with the partnership on 8th Street, and that's where the domestic violence shelter is. They have a great program there. My supervisor, not then, but now, she was like, hey, I have this position for you. It's a life coach. You get to work with the Hispanic community. We'll give you some free range on that. Come by. And I'm like, a life coach? It's like the ones on LinkedIn that do Skype interviews? She's like, no, we just call you that, but it's a lot. So that's how I became a life coach. So when you Google life coach, I'm not what you Google.
Well, tell us more about what you do at Building Stable Lives.
So the program is a little bit like case management in a sense, but with life coaching, the model is building or creating stability within families. And the program is 18 and older, so adults mostly. So what we do is go into low-income neighborhoods. So I'm in Eastlake. We have someone in Alton Park. We have someone up in Family Justice Center. We have people in East Chattanooga. There's like five of us, so we're all over, and we're usually try to be out of community centers. My supervisor is out of the Bethlehem Center, and basically we are in there to try to create more stability for maybe that community center as well as the neighborhood. So being in the Salvation Army, you know, they have social services there, and they have after-school care programs, but me being there, you know, kind of added another level of case management, again, I want to use that word. So if you come in, you know, you might want to move out of your neighborhood, move out of a school, get a better job. Some people might have come out of certain situations and they're having a hard time getting in the door for jobs or in the house or have just moved to Chattanooga. So a lot of times we're like a reference point. We kind of connect them to that. But at the same time, we're kind of like cheerleaders. We're also that maybe mentorship that they might not have.
A bridge.
Yeah. Someone to keep them accountable if that's what they want. And I tell my clients all the time, I'm like, it's what you want to be in this program. You know, I'm not your parent, you know, if they're younger. I'm not a teacher. I'm not your boss. I'm here to help you. I'm here to elevate you. So you don't have to come in here like, oh, I have to come in here and talk to my life coach. We try to build a little bit of a friendship so they're comfortable and see that we're trying to help them win. And we're there to celebrate those wins with them.
What are some of the problems that you see with people coming to you, some of the challenges they face?
A lot of them are in, like I said, low-income neighborhoods, so there's not a lot of connection there, not a lot of resources. So a lot of times people might not have transportation, but they need jobs. So a lot of times people want to maybe get a job in their neighborhood. That's kind of hard to do. So a lot of times as a life coach, we kind of present questions to them to kind of like make them see outside of the box they might be in, you know, present new ideas. So example, we have like bus cards that we help them out with if they're in part of the program. So we're like, here's a good job you can get, but it's outside your neighborhood. How do we work to encourage you to work outside your neighborhood? And sometimes people have never left their neighborhood, so it's refreshing for them. Like, oh, you know, like I can work outside of here. I can work this out, you know, and we tackle everything, you know, like, oh, but I have kids. How is that going to work? You know, so we try to connect them to programs. For example, I had this lady who worked throughout the whole summer and she didn't realize she did, but she didn't really think about it ahead of time until it was too late that like, oh, my kids are going to be home all alone the whole summer while I work. We, you know, we quickly worked out a way to get their kids into summer camp and for that summer camp to pick up the kids, you know. But a lot of times as life coaches, we try to present these things before they happen. You know, a lot of people are trying to get their bill paid today and they're not thinking about the bill that's going to come tomorrow or the next week. So as a life coach, we, you know, we try to let them see a bigger picture outside from week to week, which is hard because I graduated 2 years ago and sometimes I live paycheck to paycheck. I'm not thinking about what's going to happen if I'm in the hospital for some reason, you know, that's going to wipe me out. So a lot of times that's what the biggest problem for them is, maybe thinking a week ahead, a month ahead.
Tell me more about the population that you're helping in Eastlake.
So the reason why they put me in Eastlake is because I'm bilingual, and that's where a lot of the Hispanic population is at. So my supervisor kind of gave me a free range to figure out what the need is and try to fulfill that need. So I kind of do a little bit of life coaching with them, but at the same time, it's community outreach or community members. They're not necessarily in the program, but at this point, it's more emergency management with them. The life coaching program, you know, we kind of are moving away from, like, if someone's homeless, try to get them into a house, try to get them to a job. We try to get outside of that where maybe they're already in the house, but how do we keep that? But with the Hispanic community, I run into the biggest problem they have is a lot of them are immigrants. A lot of them don't speak English, don't know they have resources. So the population I work with a lot of times is trying to build that trust with them and just let them know they have resources, let them know that I'm there to even just interpret a document or show them where a hospital is or a school or anything.
How long have you been in Chattanooga?
I was looking at a Facebook thing. I think it's 6 years now. You know, Facebook reminds you what you were doing 6 years ago, a day ago, whatever. But I think I've been here 6 years, but I was in school here, and I'm from Minnesota, so we go back home for the summer or whatnot. But stable, I'd say, I think 4 or 5 years.
And you've lived in more than one state in the Midwest.
Yeah. It took me a while to realize that not everyone moves around a lot. Yeah, born in Los Angeles. My parents met there when they immigrated to the United States. My dad came here when he was 16, running away from the war in El Salvador. My mom did the more common thing at the time where she flew here. She thought she was going to help her family babysit some of her nieces and nephews and just stayed. She fell in love with my dad. They met.
And she came from where?
Mexico. Yeah. So they met. I was born there. Really dangerous area. We lived in East LA, Boyle Heights. My parents were like, this is not safe. Somehow ended up in Kansas, just moving around for jobs. And my dad got a more stable job in, let's say, Wichita, Kansas, then Kansas City, Missouri, where my brother was born. And then we stayed in Omaha, Nebraska for 8 years. He had a good stable job there. My mom was able to get into the school system. And that's when they started working on like their green cards and whatnot. But we lived in immigrant communities my whole life until we moved to Minnesota. And I realized like, oh, I guess I never realized that that was a community until I was in Minnesota. And then I came down to Chattanooga and wasn't with my parents and I had my own neighborhoods. I'm like, oh, wow. I was raised in an immigrant community. So I feel like that really has helped me get in touch with the communities I work with a lot. I can relate to them. I know where they can find help. A lot of times it's at like grocery stores or carnicerias, the meat shops and stuff. So a lot of times I try to go there and just get to know the owners and just let them know like, hey, there's someone out here for them, you know? But at the same time, it's sketchy, you know? As growing up in immigrant family and parents, you know, we always try to stay under the radar, you know? You never look for help because you're in a country where you're illegal and you're just trying to make it, try to provide for your family. So it's been hard too, you know, as someone who's Hispanic, speaks Spanish, knows the culture, a lot of times I still don't understand like, why is this person trying to give me free help? It takes time. I'm not trying to rush it, but at the same time, you know, sometimes it helps when I get connected through a clinic. You know, I still work with Clinica Medico, so Dr. Arnold will call me sometimes and be like, hey, we have this person that doesn't have anyone, just arrived to the United States. Or I work a lot with Clifton Hills, and they're like, we have this mom, 4 kids, husband was deported, she's never worked, she just gave birth to a 4th child or something, can you help her? And that's the part where it's like, they have no one else. The very least I can do is be someone that can interpret for them or explain to them that they can apply for food stamps or get transportation. And I think that's been my most beneficial and, I don't know, kind of keeps me going. Because a lot of times you can get kind of down on yourself, you know, like, oh man, like, I wish I could do more. But at the same time, you know, just the fact that you speak this language that they do is a big help. Kind of gives them that motivation and another hand up, if you will, to help them make their life a little easier, just a little bit.
How does living and working in this area compare to the other places where you have lived and worked before now?
That's a good question. I've realized that Chattanooga, the people that I've worked with, born and raised in Chattanooga, like to tell me that Chattanooga is not what it was 20 years ago or 10 years ago. I moved in at the perfect time, I feel like, as a young millennial who enjoys entertainment and food and stuff, because it's been great. You know, we have so many cool things, and it's still small enough that you don't feel overwhelmed, and it still feels unique. So for that part, that was great. But working with a community, there's not enough resources for the Hispanic community. Growing up in Minneapolis, huge city, there's resources left and right. Even in Omaha, there was resources there. But in Chattanooga, the resources we have aren't growing fast enough with the population. And I feel like that's normal with any smaller city that just got bombarded with a fresh group of different people or immigrants or whatnot. So that's the biggest difference and probably the biggest obstacle. It's been like finding those resources. And nonprofits are doing a really good job of trying to meet that. But a lot of times I get like, hey, you know, we have this service for the Hispanic community. Here's a flyer in Spanish. That's awesome. Like, when they call, is there someone that speaks Spanish there? Like, oh, no. Okay, so how would they be able to get help? We haven't thought that far. Can you help? You know, and I don't mind helping, but as you know, my workload gets more busy and my supervisor reminds me to stay in my lane, you know, I just wish we had more Spanish-speaking professionals or resources for the community. So that's been the biggest difference in Chattanooga.
Where would you like to see things 5 years from now, 10 years from now?
So what I try to do when I work with anyone or try to reach out to anyone, it's like, if someone comes here for the first time to the United States, regardless of where they're coming from, you kind of want to have somewhere where they can go to and kind of like, welcome to Chattanooga, welcome to the United States. Here are resources. Here are your general rights you have in this country. Here are locations that can help you with what you need to establish yourself. Because a lot of times with the Hispanic community we get, they come here and they have family or something. But a lot of times I find people who have no one, just came here with a backpack, might not have a mattress, might not have a blanket, doesn't know where a clinic is. That's why Clinica Medica's opened up, was because a lot of people were going to the hospital when they had a cold. They didn't know that there was a clinic. So for me, in 5 years, I'd love to have like a resource hub or a section of maybe even the partnership dedicated to Spanish-speaking services to just kind of people can go there as a resource guide, regardless of what it is.
And where can people go online for more information?
Partnershipfca.com. They tell you all the resources they have. You know, they have deaf services, they have elder services, they have the domestic violence shelter. They're a huge nonprofit. They do great work in everything they do. And hopefully Building Stable Lives, you know, has a lasting impact like the other services they offer.
All right. Marvin, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.